This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Remember a few years ago when stem cells were a big story? There was some controversy about which stem cells could be used. There were federal stem cell lines. There was talk about stem cells not being able to be used for certain therapies. But of course, science marches onward, and we had scientists in laboratories all over the country, and all over the world, in fact, continuing to work with stem cells as a way to create new therapies for people who desperately needed help. Well, in the last week, there's been a report that some Japanese scientists have been able to create stem cells out of what were normal blood cells. Creating stem cells sounds revolutionary. Here to explain this to us is Dr. Paul Knopfler, who is a biologist, a writer, a blogger, associate professor in the Department of Cell Biology and Human Anatomy at the University of California Davis School of Medicine, and the author of Stem Cells, An Insider's Guide. Paul, welcome to America Weekend.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tell me what these Japanese scientists have been able to do and why it seems so revolutionary.
So what they did is they took, like you said, ordinary blood cells, and they just basically stressed the cells out. They exposed them to a what we call a low pH solution, which is kind of like diluted vinegar or something like that. And these ordinary cells just miraculously changed into sort of supercharged stem cells. So it has the whole field really excited and kind of puzzled, too, at the same time that something so amazing could be done.
For most of us, when we hear about stem cells, we remember the debate about extracting them from human embryos, even those that were stored in freezers at, sperm banks, et cetera, or at cryogenic facilities with IVF doctors. There was a lot of noise about that. And for a while, if I recall correctly, please correct me here, there was a shutdown on which stem cells could be used by scientists around the world, right?
Right. And so there was a lot of controversy about embryonic stem cells made from these frozen embryos left over from in vitro fertilization. But the federal courts have kind of sided with going ahead and letting that research proceed. But part of what's so remarkable about this report from Japan is that that would kind of bypass the need, in theory, for embryonic stem cells, because these new cells actually are more powerful than embryonic stem cells and could be made from any cell in your body, in theory, like your skin cells or blood cells. So the potential here is really huge.
The potential for what?
For example, if you were to become sick with, some kind of condition, we could take just regular cells from you and turn them into supercharged stem cells and then give them back to you as a new kind of therapy, like for a heart attack or, in almost any kind of disease.
What are stem cells being used for right now? What kind of therapy has been designed with what we know about stem cells up until today that is already helping people in the world of medicine?
Well, the best example is bone marrow transplantation, which has saved, seems like, hundreds of thousands of people's lives. And it's only been recently that scientists have really realized that that works because of the stem cells in our bone marrow. And so that's the best example. Other therapies are still in development, but one that looks the most promising and is furthest along in clinical trials is a treatment for the most common cause of blindness. So there's a lot of excitement, but, there's a way to go with stem cells still, too.
I remember in the earliest debates about the use of stem cells, the word cloning kept coming up, and of course that freaked people out. But as I recall it, it wasn't really that we're going to make an exact copy of human beings, but that we were going to really perhaps regrow tissue or perhaps even organs. Is that still part of the plan? Is that being done?
Yeah, that's one of the most exciting areas is this idea, like if we have a problem with, say, our liver, that we could use our own stem cells to grow ourselves in the lab, a new liver, and just kind of swap out the old one, like a car part or something, for the new brand new one that was grown in the lab. And in theory, these new stem cells could be used for that as well. But already people have raised some concerns about these new stem cells because they are so powerful that, if some shady character had the money, he might be able to try to clone people with them because, again, they're just so powerful.
Wait a second. I'm now envisioning, you know, some evil guy, some villain in some movie who gets his hand on a bunch of vinegar and brings some people in and uses their stem cells to make copies of them. Are you saying that's a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, that's been discussed because these new stem cells, again, you know, it's only been a week or two since they were reported, so we don't know for sure if other people are going to be able to, other scientists are going to be able to duplicate this feat, but in principle, you know, this might be able to be used to clone people, but I'd again caution about this new method of acid producing stem cells because, for example, my blog, I did a poll, and most of my readers are scientists or people interested in stem cells, and there's still a fair amount of skepticism that this method is going to be something that, you know, anybody could really do, and it still hasn't been conclusively proven to work with human cells, and so all the work so far has just been done with laboratory mice, and so there's still a long way to go to really know, you know, the implications of this, but in principle, there is something there about cloning that we should at least keep our eye on to be careful about.
Are these scientists looking at possibly cloning a mouse?
Yeah, so that I think that's something that has already sort of a logical next step. They've come pretty close to doing that with these cells, and so if they can get this work to this technique to work in humans, then again we should be talking about, you know, how we can avoid going down that path to cloning. Certainly, you know, people in the scientific field would not do that, but, you know, sometimes once the technology is out there, we can't really control it, like, you know, nuclear physics or something like that. You know, you can see how, you know, it was beneficial to make energy, but also could make, you know, weapons. And so the same is true with stem cells. There can be a lot of unintended consequences.
Could we also get to a point where people are being used to create, these stem cells are being used to create these new organs so that we're harvesting them to extend the lives of people who can afford that treatment?
Right. That's another question is, you know, if we're making these exciting new therapies, you know, but will they only be available, you know, to rich people? And so I think that's definitely a concern that we want this technology to benefit the widest range of people, and I don't know. Did you mean like to make embryos that would then have parts harvested, or just the organs themselves were made?
Well, I'm wondering about all the possibilities here. I'm trying to think of where things can go in the science fiction realm that actually isn't so much fiction.
You know, you're right. I think you know, things with the stem cell field are moving so fast that sometimes the truth is, you know, stranger than fiction, and so I think one of the positive things that's really got people's imagination going that seems like it could be real in the next 5 or 10 years is making organs, you know, just straight making an organ like from a 3D printer or something like that based on stem cells. And that could really save a lot of people's lives. So that's exciting. And again, you know, it could be something used to make a new pancreas, for example, which could be huge if it could treat people, for example, with diabetes.
That would be remarkable. You go into a building and you have this problem, you know, diabetes, a perfect example. You go in there and say, okay, I want to get a new part and have you install it, but first we're going to make it for you. We're going to custom build it based on your own blood cells.
Exactly. So you might go in, they just take a little blood sample like, you know, you might have done for a blood test. You come back a month later and they've 3D printed you a new liver, you know, and you go and you have surgery. They take out your old, barely functioning liver and plug in this new one. And, you know, if all goes well, you know, that could give you another 20, 30 years of your life.
Wow, I hope my insurance covers this.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's going to be, you know, something that could be pretty expensive, especially at the beginning. But on the other hand, things like chronic liver disease and diabetes cost U.S. hundreds of billions of dollars a year. So,
and I'm pretty sure the very first liver transplant wasn't cheap, and it's not cheap now, but it certainly is a lot cheaper than the first time. There is the volume of scale, and eventually we'll get there with body parts that you can print yourself or have somebody print for you based on blood cells that have been dipped in a bath of acid or vinegar and turned into stem cells. It is remarkable. Dr. Paul Knopfler is a biologist, writer, and blogger, and associate professor in the Department of Cell Biology and Human Anatomy at the University of California Davis School of Medicine and author of Stem Cells, an Insider's Guide. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.